Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement conducted two raids in northern Ohio last month that resulted in some 250 arrests between them. Some of the accused undocumented workers have been released, but most remain in detention in Ohio and Michigan. U.S. Representative Marcy Kaptur of Ohio last month condemned the raids.
Detroit-based ICE agents swooped into Ohio fully armed to round up dozens of workers who toil in one of the least attractive jobs in our nation. Cold, bloody, slippery, and yes, dangerous hard jobs in the meat processing industry. Jobs U.S. citizens don't want.
ICE has declined to comment as the investigations are ongoing. The two businesses targeted in the raids, Freshmark and Corso's Flower and Garden Center, have not responded to our requests for comment. Joining us by phone is WKSU reporter and producer Kabir Bhatia, who has been covering the raid at the meatpacking plant in rural Salem, Ohio, that's southeast of Akron. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So what's the latest from ICE regarding the arrested workers?
Well, there hasn't been much from ICE that we've been hearing. That's maybe part of the problem. Most of what we have been hearing is from church leaders or community leaders or at rallies saying, well, this family, the children are being looked after by this person, or we've had to take people in, or we're planning a vigil or an event, or the people who have not been affected by this, we're trying to basically counsel them and tell them their rights and that sort of thing. But the numbers keep changing slightly as far as how many people might still be detained or people who maybe were let go because they were the only parent available for small children. So they were let go maybe with a nothing more than an ankle bracelet and a court date.
What is ICE's obligations as far as updating the public as far as public records go on these people?
The public records and what their obligation is, all of that is, somewhat, I don't want to say nebulous, but it's something that a lot of us haven't been able to crack yet and find out exactly what does need to be told or when or how. And I guess even during when the action was actually taking place, a lot of folks were told, you can't even text your family to say this is what's happening or I'm on there. And I think even in the days after, a lot of attorneys were still who work with these folks every day and work with immigration and trying to help them with their cases, they couldn't get a lot of answers. And they said that we're still compiling lists of we think this person might have been picked up in one of these raids.
Was this totally unexpected?
I would say yes. The word that was used by one of the attorneys was shockwaves were sent through the community. A lot of folks who were affected by this or their families were affected. They felt that, you know, we're here, we're working, and a lot of them, as I said, are working with attorneys to be here legally. And so it was unexpected that this would happen, especially at least at the one in Salem with Freshmark. A lot of folks, both who were affected, it seems like, and the church leaders down there who are helping people, pointed out Freshmark has had help wanted signs up for months. And so the fact that the company needed workers, so it seemed, I almost want to say, a little more secure at Freshmark in Salem that things like this wouldn't happen.
How has the community responded to the incident?
Well, and when you say community, I'd have to say that it's not just the Hispanic community.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying the larger community, yeah.
Absolutely. Last weekend, the bishop of the Cleveland Diocese, he held a mass at a very large Hispanic church in Lorain, which is, I don't want to say midway, but it's much closer to Norwalk where the Corso's raids happened. The weekend before that, there was a very large, and I think they said somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000 people, rally for families, they called it, on Public Square in Cleveland. And that was, you know, one of hundreds of events around the country. But this one, they specifically highlighted the families, not just at the U.S.-Mexico border, but the ones who were separated by these raids up here in Salem and Norwalk. And when I was there, I saw people that I knew personally that I remember saying to one couple, I didn't think you'd be here. I didn't know that you'd be supportive of this. And so that was quite a surprise. And generally the community, as I said, that's been the response to the raids. But there's also folks who have definitely said, basically it's about time. I remember as I was going to my car after speaking with the sister who was sort of overseeing a lot of this support in Salem, there was a house right there, and there was two gentlemen on the porch talking, and they were saying, I knew this was going to happen. It's about time I heard X, Y, and Z being done by people to get hired, and I'm glad. Of course, they didn't want to be interviewed by me, but I heard enough of their conversation to get a sense of what they were talking about.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are going to be talking this hour about the impact on communities when these ICE raids occur. Two big ones occurred in Ohio, setting an example of what the Trump administration had said back in October they were going to do, which is pursue businesses that hire people who are undocumented workers. My guest right now is Kabir Bhatia. He is a WKSU reporter and producer, and he's been covering this issue over there in Northern Ohio. If you have a question or comment for him, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, all things being equal, in both of these areas, this is Trump country. This is where he got a lot of support in the state of Ohio.
It seems to be, yes. There was a great deal of support for him in the 2016 election. And as I said, folks, not just the two gentlemen that were speaking there, but several people in press outlets and online and things have said that they felt that it was about time something like this happened. They didn't like seeing it. And then the counter to that, of course, would be when this happened, Stuart Applebaum from Organized Labor and Senator Sherrod Brown and, of course, folks who live in the community who were helping the families that had been separated, they said, well, you know, these people are just here trying to fill jobs that are still open and people didn't seem to want. So, yeah, the fact that President Trump has a great deal of support here is tempered by people who are not thrilled by these actions.
Right. The jobs. Tell us about the jobs that these people were doing.
Well, excuse me. The at Corso's, it's a landscaping company, so a lot of outdoor work, that sort of thing. Freshmark is meat processing, meat packing, that sort of thing. And even last fall at the plant, a gentleman was killed at the plant while he was working. And I was I looked into that when I heard about the raid. I thought, is this related? And it, sure enough, the gentleman last year who was killed was here illegally. So the jobs are, I guess, dangerous when you look at something like that happening. And as I think you said earlier, messy if you're working, if anyone's ever worked in a meat processing or meat packing facility. And as the sister pointed out, when I was in Salem, they're still looking for more people even before the raid happened for months.
Did you talk to, have you talked to the owners of either of those businesses?
We've tried. We've not been able to speak with them. They've sent out, Freshmark sent out a statement at the time that just essentially said they were cooperating. And three of their offices closer to Canton were raided at the same time, but just for records and files. They didn't actually arrest anyone at those offices. But the next day, those the attorney who works with a lot of the folks who work there said a lot of people were scared to go into work today.
That they were next. The policy that was announced last October from the Bush, I'm sorry, from the Trump administration was that they were going to start targeting business owners who hire undocumented workers.
And there is questions now about whether Freshmark, something will happen with them since they were hiring undocumented folks. However, they were part of this program that was supposed to, I believe it's called the Image Program, that was supposed to make sure that they weren't hiring undocumented. The company was participating in this.
Right, voluntarily.
Voluntarily, supposed to ensure that everyone coming through was here legally. So there's a big question mark over that now, what will happen with them, since they obviously were hiring people who were here illegally.
How have other businesses, have you heard about how other businesses have responded?
Other businesses, we've been concentrating so much on Freshmark and Corso's just to find out what's going to happen with these folks. I can tell you that the people who work at the other businesses, again, in a lot of cases, are maybe a little bit more cautious. One of the attorneys that I was speaking with said, you know, I think a lot of these people might end up leaving, and that's going to hurt companies in general. There's going to be a smaller workforce to pull from in an area that's already been losing people for, you know, 40, 50 years.
The Corso's case, the landscaping company, that That they lost about 125 workers, right?
Mm-hmm. And it was a little more at Freshmark, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. I mean, how are they staying in business?
That's a good question. Corso, I imagine, is going to be having a lot of people working extra, and maybe they're able to hire more people who are here. And I'm not sure that Corso's is participating in any sort of program to verify anything. So I couldn't really speak for Corso's, mm-hmm. how they would be handling it, but I imagine both companies are now having a lot more people working extra if they want to keep up the same production.
And you said the meat packing or the meat processing plant does have a sign up still saying that they're looking for workers.
The last time I was there, which was about a week or two ago, I think it was.
I'm going to take a quick call. Iris in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Iris.
Hi, I have a question, please, and you've partially addressed it. Mm-hmm. How come the plant manager, the board of directors, the human resources people, who should have, according to the late 1980s, proof of citizenship, hiring paperwork, how come they were not simultaneously arrested? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Iris. Did you, Kabir, did you talk with ICE about that question?
Freshmark have been fairly tight-lipped. I imagine that going in there and asking people, please show us your legal papers to workers, they were probably handling that action. And who knows, you know, who knows what can happen in the future as far as discussing charges against the company or company officials. But no, ICE and the company have not really commented on that.
I'm trying to find any company that has been held accountable in any of these raids that have occurred over the last several months,
mm-hmm.
at businesses.
Well, I'm right there with you. I've not been able to find too much information on that either as far as companies being charged.
Well, Kabir Bhatia, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's Kabir Bhatia. He's a WKSU reporter and producer. He's been covering the fallout from the two raids in northern Ohio of two different companies. One was a landscaping company, another meat processing plant. And what's become of that? We don't know a lot because ICE is not responding. ICE declined to join us for an interview today. And both of representatives of the company, both have not responded to our request for an interview. We'll continue our conversation about what these kinds of raids, what kind of impact these kinds of raids have on local communities when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Last month, ICE arrested some 250 workers in Northern Ohio in two of the agency's biggest workplace raids this year. The raids aren't new, but they have been prioritized under the Trump administration's strict immigration agenda. Former director of ICE, Thomas Homan, last October pledged that the agency would increase workplace raids over the course of the year.
We are stepping up worksite enforcement. I actually just recently looked at how much time, what percentage of time is spent by Homeland Security investigation worksite enforcement. I just gave an instruction. I want to increase that by 4 to 5 times what they're currently doing. So we're taking worksite enforcement very hard this year.
Homan said the agency wouldn't just prosecute undocumented workers, but also the businesses that employ them. ICE has declined to comment as the investigations are ongoing. The two businesses targeted in the raids, Freshmark and Corso's Flower and Garden Center, have not responded to our request for comment. Joining us is retired migrant agricultural monitor and ombudsman for Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, Benino Lucio. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Also by phone, National Media Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman. Welcome back, Ira.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Ira, are you satisfied that businesses are getting the message? Because as I mentioned just before in the last segment, when I was talking to the reporter from WKSU, it's really impossible to find prosecutions of businesses that have hired undocumented workers.
Well, there have been some.
Okay.
Last fall, Asplund, the big tree trimming company, was fined $96 million for hiring illegal aliens. But there needs to be more. And, you know, you had the little clip there from Thomas Homan. He said that ICE intends to increase the amount of enforcement they're doing against employers 4 to 5 times. That is exactly what they need to be doing. They need to be holding these employers accountable. They are creating the incentives for illegal immigration, and they are also taking a labor subsidy at the expense of the American taxpayers. It's the employers who get the low-wage worker. It's the American taxpayer who gets the bill for all the human services, the education for kids, the health care, all the things that people and their families need once they get here. So this is exactly the right approach. It, you know, was the intent of the 1986 immigration law. It has never really been enforced, and we need to, you know, strengthen it by making E-Verify mandatory, but this is absolutely the direction they need to be going in.
But they say they're going in that direction, but there's not, I mean, besides Asplund, there's really not a lot of evidence that they're doing much but arresting individuals, not the businesses.
Well, you know, there's culpability on both sides. You know, the people who violated our immigration laws by coming here illegally need to be held accountable, and the businesses need to be held accountable as well. And, you know, if they haven't done it sufficiently to this point, they need to start doing it. They should be going after these businesses in a big way. As I said, they are creating the incentives for people to break the law, and they are also imposing burdens on everybody else in American society, and also denying other American workers opportunities at jobs and better wages. So, you know, the employers need to be held accountable, and that's exactly what Thomas Homan said they're going to do, and we hope he carries through on it.
Benito Lucio, what are your thoughts about the culpability of employers in all of this?
Well, that's why I say we need immigration reform to once and for all to address this issue, because it's a very complicated situation. The scenario there is that employers, as long as they fill out the I-9 and the immigration has what they call the good faith clause, as long as you do your paperwork, you're mm-hmm. fine. So that's what the reason why a lot of these folks don't get any kind of legal problems.
They're doing the paperwork. People are filling it out. They're lying on the applications so that they've done their due diligence. Right?
I mean, in my 30 years working as the monitor advocate / ombudsman for the state of Ohio, we had a very good working relationship with ICE. And they actually came to our orientations. I did 2 orientations a year for the employers, and they would come and give orientations on the ways to prevent from having problems. And one of the ones that they always stressed to them was the mere fact that as long as you do your I-9 in good faith, you're going to be okay. So that's the scenario. But the other scenario here is that there's a lot of these industries that just don't have the labor force. And the undocumented worker labor pool basically fills that void. And it's, you know, I saw this happening starting in the 90s.
Well, is it that they don't have the labor force? Is it they're not willing to pay labor, the rates of labor that would attract a labor force?
Well, it's both. I mean, it's both. I mean, but the reality of it is that there needs to be a simplified way for bringing in workers legally into the country. Now, they have the H-2A program, which we did have. At one point, we almost had 1,500 workers that were coming up to Northeast Ohio working under the H-2A program. Those were the employers that decided to avoid having any kind of problems and just doing it right. Now, those employers under the H-2A program have to pay a significantly higher wage. In fact, when I left in 2014, the wage was $11.78 an hour.
Uh-huh. Above minimum, yeah.
Yeah. So, and in those situations under the H-2A program, if there is an American worker willing to do those jobs, they actually, you know, have that preference. But, you know, it's very hard to find workers. Now, I can tell you, you know, like, for example, in the meat processing plant, I visited quite a few of these plants throughout my 30 years. This is hard work. You're working in conditions where it's, you know, 30, 40 degrees, 8 hours a day,
right?
Repetitive work with sharp knives. And from what I know about some of these companies, there's a significant number of accidents that happen. But as long as we don't have immigration reform to address a lot of these issues, we're going to continue going back and forth with this. And so for me, if I mean, it's a simple scenario. And here's the other thing.
Well, it's not simple when you're talking about Congress doing much of anything when it comes to immigration reform.
Well, my experience with the Ohio legislature is when I met with one Republican representative a couple of years ago. You know, he said, if it's too practical, it's not going to happen. Now, you know, that was so discouraging to hear that. But the reality of it is that it's all about economics. I mean, agriculture is the number one industry in Ohio. And if we look at the big picture, it's all about economics. And we have to, you know, be conscientious that, first of all, the Social Security issue, that, you know, that's one of the reasons why this became a problem up in Northeast Ohio. Folks, in order to work, you have to have a Social Security number. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody knows that folks will go out. There's always vendors out there, just like there's vendors that sell fake state IDs. So folks will buy these documents. Sometimes the number it belongs to somebody. Sometimes it's just, you know, a number that doesn't belong to anybody. So, but the reality of it is that in this case, from what I'm aware of, we had an issue about like 10 years ago, 8 years ago. There were vendors here that were selling fake or real Social Security number of Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. And that was a big problem. We tried to attack it significantly by, you know, making people aware, don't get into that because, you know, it'll have its consequences sooner or later.
Ira Melman, you're the national media director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. So you agree with Benito Lucio that they got to reform the immigration laws.
Yes, and a good place to start would be to make E-Verify mandatory. When you walk into a store and make a purchase with your credit card, the merchant doesn't look at your card and fill out a form in good faith and say, yeah, that card looks valid. He runs it through a computer, and it tells him instantly whether it's valid and whether it's been issued to you. Mm-hmm. We could do the same thing with the Social Security Administration's database, and that's exactly what E-Verify does. It is, you know, 99%+ accurate. It responds within a few seconds very often. This needs to be a mandatory procedure when anybody is hired in the United States. That would eliminate the use of fraudulent Social Security numbers. It would prevent somebody from stealing your Social Security number, which in addition to being able to get, you know, get somebody a job illegally in the United States is going to cause you a whole lot of trouble. So we could eliminate a lot of this. But, you know, as Benino is pointing out, it is all about economics, and the employers who are benefiting from this subsidized labor system, they don't want it to change. They have been blocking the use of E-Verify for a long, long time because they want to be able to continue to look at whatever documents you bring in and say, gee, that looks fine to me, check off a few boxes, and they're clear. That needs to stop. There is no shortage of labor in this country. We saw last month where the unemployment rate went up in spite of the fact that more people are working than ever because we have a huge pool of untapped workers in this country who are now finding their way back into the labor market. We're looking for solutions to a problem we really don't have.
Well, how do you explain it then? Why would an employer hire somebody who could be undocumented? Why? I mean,
because they can hire them more cheaply. The law of supply and demand says that if you can flood the labor market, especially if you can flood it with people who are in the country illegally, have limited rights in this country, who have limited expectations in this country, then you can keep wages down for everybody. And that's exactly what has been happening for a long time. It is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons for this growing gap in wages between, you know, the very wealthy in this country and people who work for a living.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You just heard from Ira Melman. He's National Media Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Also with us, Benito Lucio, retired migrant agricultural ombudsman for the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. We're talking about, you know, once again, immigration issues in light of the raids on two Ohio businesses last month. One, a landscaping business up near Sandusky. Another one, a meat processing plant southeast of Akron. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Ira Melman, I wanted to ask you about what you think about ICE's, it's kind of, as the reporter I talked to earlier called it, nebulous. In other words, the process of transparency when ICE arrests people, this number of people, it's really difficult to get any kind of information from ICE. If it was the police, there'd be a police report. You'd know what their name was within a matter of hours, if days, if not hours. How do you feel about how ICE operates when it comes to these kinds of arrests?
Well, look, I mean, I think everybody agrees there ought to be transparency in government. I don't know what ICE does and doesn't do in that area. That's probably for somebody else to comment on. But certainly to the greatest extent possible, unless they're, the information somehow is going to tip somebody off, they ought to be very transparent. And it also sends a signal. If they make it clear that the employer down the street just got hit with a huge fine for violating the law against hiring people in the country illegally, that sends a message to everybody else. It's like any other kind of law enforcement. The highway patrol doesn't pull over every speeder. They pull over enough of them. The rest of us get the message and take our foot off the gas. This is kind of the beneficial effect that it has. And what they're doing ought to be publicized widely so that other employers get the message.
Benita Lucille, what do you know about what ICE's obligation is when it comes to transparency and these kinds of arrests?
In my experience in working with, them and just having a line of communication, I mean, they just basically let us know about some of these situations going on, but that's to the extent that they would share information. But I may add that in regards to, the undocumented workforce, like I said, I spent 30 years working here in Ohio with our migrant labor population, of which about 70% of the workforce is undocumented, and that nationwide, that's the scenario that we have. This is a workforce, contrary to what the gentleman said, that contributes to Social Security, and there is a significant, there's billions of dollars, from what I know, trillions of dollars in the Social Security fund that these folks are contributing to the system, which will, in reality, add solvency to the Social Security fund.
Without benefiting from it.
Yeah, we're all benefiting. So when people say that that they're a burden, no, they're not. And second of all, I admire the hard work just the work ethic that this workforce has. And as the gentleman was saying, if you have a labor pool, go to the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services and get in contact with any of the local offices across the state of Ohio, and they will find jobs. I mean, I can tell you that we tried doing some recruitment in the Springfield area for the nurseries. When they started getting into H-2A. Mm-hmm. We recruited about 170 or so workers from the local community. I think at the end, we only had like one or two that actually stayed on the job. It's hard work. I think we as Americans are becoming more geared toward doing other jobs. And I can tell you, as a former migrant farm worker, I mean, I spent in my high school years coming to Ohio to work up in Northwest Ohio, picking pickles and tomatoes. That was mm-hmm. my summer vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard work. And as a migrant farm worker, one of the first things that I said to myself when I graduated from high school, I told my parents, I said, look, I'm going to do something different. This is not for me. So a lot of us that used to be migrant workers that came to Ohio, a good percentage of us got out of the migrant stream. And so that's where the employers started having problems with finding labor. And so in the 90s, we also had a big drought in Mexico. So, folks started coming into the country. Of course, we had immigration reform in 86. So there was also a pool that didn't qualify for IRCA that was in the system. But it was never... there was supposed to be the replenishing agricultural worker program, which was never implemented, which was program to be able to replenish, because a lot of the workers under the
they moved on.
They moved on, right?
You know, Ira Melman, why I wanted to go back to something that Benito Lucio said a few seconds ago, as far as that it's not true that just because you're an undocumented worker means you're a burden, that you're not paying into taxes. In fact, a lot of people, they may be doing it under a fraudulent Social Security number, but they're probably paying taxes. They're paying Social Security. They're doing all of that. They're just not benefiting from it legally.
Right. About half of the workers are working on fraudulent Social Security numbers, so they are having some taxes paid. But if you look at the wages that they're earning, they're extremely low.
Right.
And we know that people who earn low wages pay very, very little in taxes. But they also, along the way, use a lot of government services and benefits. You know, if they have children in this country, those kids go to school. You know, typically a year at a public school costs about $12,000 a year. On average across the nation, you know, if you have a family income of $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, the taxes that you pay couldn't possibly cover the cost of one kid, much less multiple kids. Then there's health care. And then if they have children who are born in the United States, those kids are American citizens. They are entitled to every means-tested benefit that is available. So, you know, the math just doesn't work out. And if, look, I mean, we shouldn't be glad that we're taking people's money at a Social Security and then not giving it back to them. Mm-hmm. That's exploitation also, which is one of the reasons we need to stop this practice to begin with. Nobody is winning except the employers. You know, obviously the people who are coming illegally are better off than they were in their home countries, otherwise they wouldn't be here. But
right.
The vast majority of the American people lose out on this, and it needs to be stopped.
Something like food in the United States is cheap compared to the rest of the world, and a lot of that it has to do with this workforce we're talking about, Ira Melman. But if you increase the wages, human resources are the most expensive part of any kind of business. If you increase the wages the way you're talking about, that would make food more expensive for Americans.
Well, actually, the food, you know, what you pay at the supermarket, labor is about a 10% component of that. But, you know, the argument that you're making sounds remarkably like what they were saying in the antebellum South about the cost of
mm-hmm.
cotton. It doesn't make it right. Just because it's expedient doesn't mean it's right,
mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't tolerate it. So, and, you know, another thing about having this availability of cheap labor, it discourages these employers from investing in mechanization. In many cases, crops that are picked by hand in the United States are picked by machines elsewhere, but it takes an enormous capital investment to buy these machines, and the farmers are saying, you know what, we've got all these workers who are willing to do it for these very low wages. It just isn't worth our while.
For small family farmers, you know, you're talking apples and oranges. You're talking about small family farmers here in Ohio. Mechanization did come into play here in Ohio back in the 80s. Quite a few crops that I used to pick here, like processing tomatoes, basically became all automated or
mm-hmm.
machine. But what bothers me about this whole issue is the demonization of this workforce as if they're, you know, these monsters that are just taking advantage of everything you know, here in the United States. The reality of it is that, like those communities where we had these raids recently, those communities benefit significantly because the folks are spending money in those communities. I can tell you that, you know, that in talking to employers in some communities up in Northwest Ohio, they are grateful to this workforce because they're spending a lot of money in there. Contrary to what most of you hear about, that the workers sent a lot of their money back to Mexico or wherever, they spend most of it here. So, I mean, it's a big win-win situation for our economy in general. I asked, you know, the gentleman, okay, so you want to deport all of these 11 million people, and who's going to do those jobs? I mean, that's the bottom line. Who's going to do those jobs? I mean, having spent 30 years in the workforce development in the employment services for the state of Ohio, I saw the reality of it. And I had so many employers that would come to me, Mr. Lucio, can you help me find Hispanic workers?
But Ira Melman's point is, pay more money and you'll get more. You'll get an expanded workforce.
I can tell you that there are a lot of good employers that do that because they value their labor force. In fact, the employers that went H-2A, recognize that, you know, it's a very lucrative business that they're in, and it's important to be able to maintain a stable workforce. And I saw the, you know, some of these employers that constructed new housing for the workers. So, I mean, it's, you know, you talked about the price of food. The second food starts going up, I mean, I can just hear, you know, the same people that are against all of this.
I wanted to take a call from Bob and Gahanna before I let you two go. Mm-hmm. Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. My understanding is the way the law is right now, employers that act with less than good faith, they get fines. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is why they don't go to jail. You're not going to motivate somebody to change their behavior if they can just write it off as part of the cost of doing business. Actually got to go to jail and be in prison with criminals, that might change their behavior.
Ira Melman?
That absolutely should happen. And, you know, that was part of the law as it was written in 1986 that, you know, for a first offense you get a fine, but after subsequent offenses you could face prison time. And that is exactly what needs to happen. A very clear message. If the, you know, hitting them in the pocketbook isn't sufficient, then putting them behind bars for a few years will send the message. So, you know, amen. Put them in jail.
Thanks, Bob, for that call. We're out of time. I have to say thanks to Ira Melman again, a national media director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. I appreciate your time as always.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Benito Lucio, a retired migrant agricultural ombudsman for the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Thanks again, as always.
Thank you. And this is the reason why we need immigration reform. We need to make it okay for all of these folks that are here that have been contributing for years. You know, that's the solution to this. I don't have a problem with E-Verify, you know, but make it mandatory and you'll solve the problem.
We will continue our conversation. We're going to hear from the Ohio Landscape Association about how they grapple with this issue. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. More than 200 people were arrested by ICE last month after two raids on northern Ohio businesses. The arrests could potentially exacerbate a growing problem for labor-intensive businesses in the state. Local farms and landscape firms are struggling to find employees. They say it is a combination of the Trump administration's limiting of work visas and a lack of Americans applying for the jobs. By phone, we have Executive Director of the Ohio Landscape Association, Sandy Munley. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, we just heard from Ira Melman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform. He'd like to see businesses that hire undocumented workers. He'd like to see those business owners go to jail.
Well, the Ohio Landscape Association doesn't encourage any illegal activity. However, you know, we go to great lengths to encourage the government to provide programs that will make a legal workforce available. And, you know, that includes guest worker programs like H-2B and H-2A that will help provide temporary seasonal labor.
Another argument that Ira Melman has made is, like, pay people more money to do these jobs and you'll get more legal applicants.
I really don't think it's a matter of pay. Americans don't want seasonal work. You know, there are a lot of good-paying jobs in the landscape field, but not every job is year-round. You know, we have winter months that don't allow for the growing season to continue. And, you know, even in other states that have a warmer climate, there is still a growing season and a dormant season. So, there just isn't a need for that workforce year-round. And let's face it, your mortgage or your rent and your bills are 12 months of the year. They're not 9 or 10 months. So, you know, that is a part of the problem. Additionally, you know, not as many Americans want to work outdoors any longer. Some do. We're grateful for those. We welcome them into the jobs that are available. But, you know, the work can be difficult if you're outside in the heat or the rain or cold. So, you know, it's not a job for everyone. And therefore, we have to rely on bringing additional labor in to help out.
You know, we were talking about the landscaping company up by Sandusky that went through the raid, lost about 125 workers. What are you guys talking about in the Ohio Landscape Association community when it comes to that? I mean, what kind of hit is that to a landscaping company like that?
Well, I'm sure it's huge. You know, but there are also many, many companies that use the visa program, the H-2B program that didn't get their workers this year, who, you know, are very committed to having a legal workforce. And, you know, they're missing the same kind of numbers of workers. So mm-hmm. it's not a one-faceted problem. There just simply is not a large enough workforce out there that is available. And if our government would work on immigration reform and reform these visa programs so that there was a large enough population of people to fill these jobs, I think we would eliminate all those types of problems.
So you're convinced that these are not jobs that Americans, citizens, are competing for?
Absolutely. Our members, our landscape contractors, they have ads going year-round on Facebook, on all the different types of websites, signs in front of their businesses, notices up at the grocery stores and bulletin boards at the, you know, churches, at drugstores, and they just are not getting the applicants. Or when they do get it, someone that says, yes, I'm interested in this position, a lot of times they'll come in, they'll work a day or two, and they'll go, oh, I don't think I'm cut out for this. This is just, you know, not for me, and they're gone. So, you know, it's just not work Americans really want to do in the volume that we need.
What kind of work, I mean, is there anything you think that these kinds of companies like landscape companies, could do to entice people?
Well, you know, many of them have 401k programs, they have health insurance, they have paid time off, they have all the things that other businesses have. So, and they're still not able to hire. So it's not like, you know, they're not putting people in positions as, you know, secondary citizens. There are nice companies out there offering good jobs at a fair wage, and they're not able to hire.
When these kinds of raids occur, have you seen a downtick in people showing up for work at the landscape firms that are a part of your association?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. It hasn't created a scare, threatening atmosphere?
Not to my knowledge.
What about the relationships that employers have with their workers who are threatened by this, just by the fact of what their last name might be spelled like and that they may be a temporary worker but may not have their documents on them? Is there any concerns about them?
Honestly, I haven't had that conversation with anyone, mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Okay. Ava in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. So I just wanted to kind of agree that it's really hard to find workers who are willing to do the really hard job. My husband is a tree trimmer, and he you know, has worked with undocumented workers, you know, throughout his career. And he recently, went rogue, but he started his own business, and he has really struggled to find people who are willing to do the job. And it's not that he's not paying. It's that people aren't interested. You know, it's hard work. It's, you know, there's a lot of really physical things that, you know, people just aren't interested in doing. And so that's a reality. So we can keep pretending that Americans aren't, you know, getting these jobs because the wages are too low, but that's not a reality. The reality is that the people who are coming here looking for a better, you know, better way, better life, and they're willing to do anything that they need to, which includes doing the really hard job. And the other thing that I just wanted to comment about is that the people who are here legally, who, you know, are getting profiled, are screwed when ICE shows up, because you don't, ICE doesn't give you the opportunity to even prove that you are a citizen or that you are here legally. They just detain you. And so that's also a major problem that we have to address with ICE and doing all of these raids, because, you know, that's going to affect the workforce, whether you're illegal or not.
Yeah, kind of the throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Sandy Munley, has that been an issue?
You know, I wish I had data to tell you, but I honestly have not had those discussions. But, you know, I would think that that would be an issue, that, you know, profiling like that is not a good thing.
You know, I wanted to talk to Ava again. Is it Ava or Eva?
It's Eva.
Eva, I wanted to talk about that, the due diligence that your spouse takes when he's hiring somebody. Can you talk about that a little bit, about to what extent he goes to verify that somebody is a documented worker?
So if they provide paperwork and we send it over to our payroll, then, and they're approved, then they're in the clear. So there isn't, we're a small business. We don't have an e-verification system or anything along those lines. But if they provide all the documentation that they're supposed to provide, then it's a go for us. So, and on some level that's, I'm sure, like, well, you have no idea. Well, that's true, but I don't have any idea about anybody. If you provide me a driver's license with a name that matches your Social Security card, you know, like, there is no other system for us that will work.
Is,
you know,
E-Verify too expensive?
I don't know.
Okay. Sandy Munley, have you looked into the E-Verify system that would just kind of, like, I use a credit card, you'd scan a card and you'd know for sure?
Well, you know, I don't know that much about using it, other than it is voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And our government does not require that a company use, an employer use E-Verify. That it is, as Ava was saying, if someone comes to you for employment and they have the proper documentation so that you can fill out an I-9 form properly, you are not supposed to question that person and their legality, or you can actually be held accountable as someone who is, you know, prejudiced toward mm-hmm. that individual applying for the job.
Okay.
So the employers actually run, you know, they're on a tightrope as far as, you know, you've come to me, you have the documentation, I can fill out this I-9 form. Your documentation looks good. It looks like it is from the proper authorities. Then they are required by law to hire that individual.
Eva, thank you so much. I want to quick find Carolyn in Pickaway County. Carolyn, we only have about 30 seconds, but I wanted to give you a chance.
Thank you. I'm calling about the difficulty of trying to get high school football players to help bale hay in the summer, paying $15 an hour. These kids will work for an hour or maybe two,
uh-huh.
and they take off in their fancy new car and will never come back. It's hot, hard work,
mm-hmm.
but our young people don't want to do this kind of labor.
Okay. Carolyn, thanks a lot. I'm glad I could squeeze you in. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Sandy Munley, Executive Director of the Ohio Landscape Association, thanks to you as well. I appreciate your insights.
Oh, have a great day.
You too. Sandy Munley, Executive Director of the Ohio Landscape Association. This is an ongoing conversation. We'll continue it. I hope you'll join us, and thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.